That the bubbles run down. It seemed like something good to do at the time. We, you know, had all the parks in town up for sale. A lot of people was mad the next morning when they woke up and their for sale signs were gone. I remember Tom Whitworth, one of my teachers in high school, was upset when I appropriated a stop sign from L.J. Keith and Sons and put it right at the T road by his house, and everyone had to shine their headlights right his bedroom window to go around it. You know, there's not a lot to do in a little town like Fairfield, so we had to find things to do. I remember all the blessed, wonderful wild game we appropriated in the evenings and overnight hours. A lot of things. I remember one I was especially that I wanted to tell. I told Aunt Judy before service. You know, when Fairfield seemed like you graduated high school, you went to work at Airtex, you worked there, you retired, and you died. And that's not necessarily the reason I chose to leave Fairfield, but I was working at Airtex and had this nice little Mazda pickup. Really liked that little truck and had the 40-channel Cobra with uppers and lowers and a big K-40 whip antenna. I mean, I was something now. And coming early for church, they were having choir practice. I couldn't sing then. I couldn't sing. Can't sing now. Nothing's ever changed. So I sat in the parking lot. And I had a man, Randy Gossage. His handle on the CB was Heartbreaker. If you knew Randy Gossage, Heartbreaker was the farthest thing from who he was. But the first day that I walked, or first evening, I walked into Airtex Products to work there. One guy looked at me and he said, "Well, you're just a kid." I was 18 years old. I said, "Yeah, I guess I am." He said, "I'm going to call you the Airtex Kid." And that's what they called me at Airtex, was the Airtex Kid. And so that became my handle on the CB. And I came in early for church and had my big whip antenna and my 40-channel Cobra. And Heartbreaker was hollering for Airtex Kid. And I said, "Go ahead, Heartbreaker." And we began to have a talk, and something happened to his radio, and I said, "Hey, Heartbreaker, got your ears on? Can you hear me, buddy?" About 2 minutes of that, Brother Tatum walked out the back door of the church right there and walked up to my truck. And he said, "I don't know who Heartbreaker is, but everything you say is coming over the PA system. I wish you would stop doing that." So I told Heartbreaker, "Gotta go, buddy. We'll see you later." You know, so that was pretty funny. I remember when I graduated high school, there was, I don't even know, Mom, if I told you this, that I was offered a full paid, I know this part is okay, but I was offered a full paid scholarship to Wichita Columbia. I didn't say anything to anyone because I really wanted my life to matter. And I made it a matter of prayer. And I remember talking to Brother Tatum, and I said, "Brother Tatum, I think I can become a mechanic and make a good living for a family someday." And he said, "You know," he said, "I'll never tell you what you necessarily should or shouldn't do. Only I want you to pray about it, and I want you to consider one thing. Why would you want to accept that in your life when I believe God has a greater call than yours than to work on cars and trucks and diesels?" And I went back to Mr. McNeil, and I said, "Sorry, JR." Everyone called him JR. "I don't think I'm going to take this." You see, because I held the words of the man of God in very high authority in my life. And I remember all the times that Brother Tatum would sit down and talk with me. He still holds a very high place in my heart and my spirit. Although he is gone, and I still remember the words he spoke to me has guided me through my life. And I'm so very thankful for that today. I'm thankful I was, my wife around Christmas loves to make peanut brittle. And every time we get the boys and even the grandsons and some of the grandkids together and we're banging out peanut brittle, it reminds me of all the days of the. And I remember the thing I remember the most is the little jig Junior Tyree would do as he grabbed that axe handle and he'd just go like this, stirring that stuff. I still think of it and laugh often about that. You know, this church has been a source of great strength in my life, and I am beyond grateful to be able to stand here today and preach the gospel. I'm so honored today. And I have to be real today. Y'all know me as well as I know me. So, but I come today, I remember when I don't remember, brother, if you called or texted or how it was and asked me to do this. You know, it was one of those nice things I told Jake, and I expected to see him here second service. I'm going to have to go put a knot on his head. Amen. One oral runner's going to pray off. But anyway, God spoke to me immediately on what he wanted, and I was talking to my pastor yesterday about it, and my pastor said, "Yeah, that's good, Dale. That's good." You know what the words from a pastor does in the hearts and the lives of the saints of God? It gave me an encouragement. Amen. Yesterday, as we were leaned across this fishing boat, it's smelling like crappie and white bass, which is one of my favorite smells. And I am glad today. I am so thankful. When God called me to preach, and I'm going to basically go through a story in Judges chapter 6 of the calling of Gideon because of the Midianite oppression of Israel. But I want to say today that the words of, I don't really remember much. I was told when Brother Charlie Crawley had pastored here that I would stand up in the pew and yell and go on. And I was fortunate when Brother Charlie Crawley pastored I think it was only somewhere over there to preach for it. It was so exciting to be able to preach for a former pastor. And then I, for some reason, just don't remember Brother Ronnie Strong much at all when I was growing up, other than him showing up occasionally. And but Brother Tatum had a place in my heart and my spirit that I cannot forget. I can't walk away from it, and I don't ever want to. I was thankful for his guidance, and I was thankful for some of you that just loved me. Be kind to a guy that did everything he could think of just to be ornery, and I still fight that today. I'm still a pretty ornery child. My mother told me one time, she said, "I think you're in your second childhood," and offended me greatly because I never intended to grow up. And to my mom, I don't say it probably as often as I should, but your strength is a lot of what keeps me doing what I do today. That's one strong woman right there. Amen. And when Dad wasn't going to live for God, and thank God he made that right in his later years. But I remember Mom, that I would try to give her every reason in the world on a Sunday night why I couldn't go to church, because I didn't want to go to church. I wanted to go bluegill fishing. I just wanted to fish. That's all I wanted to do, and that's all I really want to do now. I love to fish. But she'd say, "No, you're going to the house of God. It's important." And it's important, and I know I told some of you this morning, but can I have my most precocious, beautiful little daughter to come up here real quick? Come here, baby. I want you to... And I knew she would jump at this chance. You're missing your shoes, honey. You know. I want you to tell everybody what happened Sunday morning at church. You remember what happened Sunday morning at church? When Sister Vernon was teaching the children, what happened?
I got the Holy Ghost. You got the Holy Ghost.
You're back to seventh grade. Okay. That girl acts like that every day. I have no greater joy. I could pass on a lot of things in this life, but I have no greater joy than that right there. In fact, Sister Vicki Vernon used to be Vicki Oliver. I was talking with her out at the campground. They were out there for a few days, and I told her, I said, "You know," I said, I just heard, you know, later that day," she said, "Oh, man, I got the Holy Ghost today." And I'm like, there was something in my spirit that was just, you know what, you could tell me you got accepted into Harvard or Yale, or you just did this or that, but that was the greatest news that I could ever hear from one of my children, that God Himself filled her. And I pray today that all of your children and your grandchildren will be filled with the Spirit of God. I pray that will happen. But you know, I know what it's like. I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. And Sister Vernon told me, she said, "I want to tell you something about that little girl." She said, "There is an anointing on her that she doesn't understand right now, but you're going to have to help her with." And I said, "If God is with us, that's all I need to know."
Amen.
I'm blessed today beyond measure. I must testify of the goodness of God. He's been good to me. Amen. And I'm thankful that He has been good to you. But I want to preach, and I hope it's just for a moment, because Brother Herod, that was a pastor in Springfield, told a group of young ministers about 1,200 years ago when I was a young minister. He said, "Every good sermon is like good pie crust. A little shortening goes a long way. Well, all of my years of good eating, I've added to it a little bit. A little bit of lard helps too. So, you know, we're going to go with that also today. If you would stand and turn to Judges chapter 6. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to be here. I submit myself to your authority today. I want you to understand that. Amen. We want to do this thing God's way today. Amen. And I am honored beyond measure to be here today. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you for that. And I very much appreciated and honored and humble, very humble by that. I don't always seem like a humble person, but I'm grateful today for God in my life and the people of God, His representatives on this earth. Judges chapter 6, beginning at verse 11, verses 11 through 16. And there came an angel of the Lord that sat under an oak which was in Ophrah. I wanted to say Oprah, but that didn't sound right. That pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress, not where you're supposed to be doing that, to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Oh, wait a minute. This dude's hiding underground in a winepress. And God said, "You are a mighty man of valor."
Right.
Gideon said unto him, "O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us?" God said, "I'm with you." And he said, "What is all this happening if you're with me?"
Right.
And that's part of my preaching, so that's the only part of it. Anyway. "Where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt, from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." And the Lord looked upon him and said, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? I will do a work through you." And he said unto him, "O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said unto him, "The greatest words I've ever heard in my life, surely I'll be with you. Surely I will be with you, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." God said one thing, and Gideon said another. God said, "You're this," and Gideon said, "No, I'm not." I want to preach by the help of the Lord for a few moments today on this wise, what He said. What He said, being God. Gideon began to explain every reason why he could not. And God said, "You can and you will. I want to live my life by what He said today." Pastor, would you pray?
Well, we thank you for your word. We pray that it have free course in our hearts today. Let it be powerful, anointed. Let it change things in our lives. Those that are sinners, come to repentance. Those that are oppressed, to be healed. Those of God that are wandering in the wilderness, to come to a place of grace and promise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated today. I believe if we are going to make it through this life, we are going to, as I had said earlier, talking about the things that we must go through. But our life, they liken the Christian walk into a battle, the good battle of faith, the battle for our faith in God. And as the pastor had said, you know, I try to lift the faith of people when I get around them, because I want them to know this God the way that I know my God. And I want them to understand that there is no way, greater way to live your life than fighting that battle for that faith that we have in our God today. I want everyone around me to know, yeah, he may know a lot of jokes and he may catch a lot of fish and do all these things, but I want them to know that he has a faith in his God that will carry him through anything that he walks through in this life. And there are many times I feel so inadequate for the work of God in my life. You see, I believe you and I are called unto a fight today. I don't believe it's time for anyone to sit on the sidelines and be complacent right now. For the greatest thing that's working against the church is our own apathetic ways, where we refuse to get up and get involved of the things that's going wrong in our world. I believe, and I've always prayed, that there be someone filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost sitting in the White House. And I want to tell you something else. I thank God for the day that brother down in Alexandria, the pastor, Anthony Mankin, when he went in there and he grew up and he was friends with Bill Clinton, when they were teenagers. I thought it was funny too. But things were going on, and Bill Clinton did not know what to do, and he called for Anthony Mangan to walk in there and to come and to pray with him. And as he went in there to that Oval Office and he began to pray, God filled our president with the baptism of the Holy Ghost right then and right there. Now, I'm not saying he let him guide him everywhere, but I believe the church needs to begin to affect the world that is around us. But we'll never affect the world around us until we begin to see who we are in God. We'll never be able to affect our families and our children and our workplaces until we begin to understand that when God put His Spirit inside of me, it was for a greater reason than to punch my ticket to heaven. It was to be a light in a dark world everywhere that I went. But how many times has God... You know, here's the funny thing. It wasn't shortly after I received the Holy Ghost, God had called me and commissioned me what He wanted me to do in my life. And God gave me the Holy Ghost, and He gave me a help, and He come to live inside of me so I could do a work for Him, so I could live a life that was overcoming. But if I'm not afraid, I'll look at the task ahead of me and think, let someone else take care of that. I'm not able. What did He say? There's no way. There's no way. I want to tell you something this morning. I want y'all to help me just a little bit more. This is a two-way thing. You get to yell and holler just as much as I do today. Just so you're wondering, I'm okay with that. You're not going to scare me. 9 kids and 11 grandkids. I'm not afraid of noise today. So, you know, we can just worship with this. But I want you to know today that He said, when He was there, the Midianites were, of course, Israel. We always hear. They always write. You know, they sinned against God, and God put them in the hands of their enemy, and their enemy was oppressing them, and they come and take all their food when they would try to grow some food, and the little bit of wheat that they had, Gideon, was in the wine press. Underground, you couldn't even blow the chaff out of it as he was working the wheat, and then he went ahead, and he was trying to get a little bit of food for his family to eat, and he was hiding underground, basically, and the Lord comes up to him and says, "You mighty man of valor." He said, "You are a mighty man of valor." But in Gideon's mind, he was hiding underground just to get a little bit of food to eat. God never desired that His children be in secret and in darkness anywhere. From doing what God has called us to do. Right. I'm about to go to the very end of my sermon and just preach that. I like it so well, but I'm just going to wait here. Verse 12. I want you to go over to verse 12. Angel of the Lord appeared, said unto them, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." I don't ever want to forget everywhere that I go and everything that I do, the Lord is with me. And that doesn't just mean in my battle and my trial and in my fight, but God is with me in everything I put my hands to. And by that I mean when I'm doing things that are not right, God is with me. Remember that the next time we're tempted to do something that is wrong and outside the will of God in our life. I don't want to drag God. The Apostle Paul told him, he said, "Hey boys, I wouldn't go on this cruise. Bad things are going to happen." They wouldn't listen to the man of God, and they drug the man of God right into their troubles. I think God's got more important things to do than mess with my garbage and my stupid decisions in life. And I don't say that about you, I say it about me. God, help me to remember that every time I deal with somebody, I was in McDonald's drive-thru in Salem this morning, and it took 25 minutes to get through the fast food drive-thru. I was just, Brother Kevin, a little bit irritable this morning because I only had one cup of coffee and I needed some coffee. I'm fortunate enough to go teach at CR, Celebrate Recovery, in our church every once in a while on a Wednesday night. And talk to them about the effects of drugs and alcohol and addiction and how God can break that and help them. But I like my addiction to caffeine. I hear these guys say, I just got up in the morning and I couldn't stop without injecting something or snorting something. And I'm like, God can deliver you from that. Where's the coffee at? We gotta be careful. I used to preach in the jails there in Salem. Or the jail, there's not more than one, there's just one. And I love that. I love to walk into a room where steel doors lock behind you and you're in there with, all these inmates. And I just decided to be a goofball like I always am. And I just had fun in there. And I told them about a God who'd help them and bless them and encourage them. And I had to remember at times that everywhere that I went that God was with me.
Yes.
We had foster care for so many years. There was this girl. We had these two girls for 4 years. They were going to go back home, and I told that state's attorney, I think when he sees me in Walmart, he goes back way around the other direction now. Don't you know what's getting ready to happen if you allow this to go on? It's the dumbest thing you've ever done. He's an attorney now. Well, he was then, I guess, but I told him, I said, bad things are going to happen to that little girl. I didn't spend 4 years of my life getting her head straightened up. God filled her with the Holy Ghost and showed her right from wrong to send them back to that and be covered in filth again.
That's right.
And exactly what I said would happen, would happen. And her daddy's in prison for a long, long time right now. Right after it happened, I was praying one Saturday, God, I'm going to walk into that jail tomorrow and preach something to someone not knowing who's going to be there. And God said, you preach repentance. And you let them know I can forgive anything. And I was excited. And he walked in. My brother, he smirked at me and said, Lord, help me right now. I said, you know what? Not my fight. Not my fight, Jimmy. I'm just coming to preach what the Lord laid on my heart and began to go on. Mom, something inside of me was running to remember. No. Just exactly how I know to dismember carcasses because I'm a meat cutter. I wanted to tear that guy from limb to limb. And all of a sudden, I remembered two things. The Lord is with me. The Lord was with me. And I was made for greater things than this. And I walked up there and I realized very quickly how the prophet said, when he said, I'll not go to Nineveh because they don't deserve it. Brother Kevin, I want to tear that guy apart. And God said, I'm with you. And I preached repentance and I remembered every sin. God, help me to remember everything I've done wrong that you've forgiven me of. And I stood there and I preached repentance and I seen grown men weep and cry under the power of God in the jail that day. And I was so thankful for it. And I always remember back to that day how I wanted to tear that guy limb from limb for what he'd done to a little girl that I love. I've got to remember. Me. by the grace of God, that's me. I need to remember that God is with me everywhere that I go. When they take 25 minutes in a drive-thru at McDonald's and they still want to call it fast food. I was a little bit upset this morning, but I smiled. You know why I smiled real pretty at them, Uncle Danny? Because I mow their grass and they know I mow their grass. And I was afraid every bit of trash would be out there on the lawn tomorrow morning if I acted up. The Lord is with me. I want to tell you something. How many of you has God called you to do something? How many of you God has called you to do something? Let me ask you how you felt when God's... I want to ask you something. There, other than Uncle Darrell, there never been a preacher I know of in our family. 12 years old, God said, I'm calling you to preach the gospel. I'm like, no. Preachers don't come from this family. No, it's a bad family. It's a good family, but we're just not preachers. And I began to... Mom, I began to remember everything I've done and said wrong and trying to get myself to believe that I didn't have to do what God had called me to do. Because somehow at 12 years old, I began to understand the depth of the calling of God in my life. And I had to remember that God is with me, and no matter what I thought about me, God said, I've called and chosen you to do this. I want somebody to understand today, if you're not able to grasp a hold of what it is that God, or you know what God has called you, that you don't believe that you're worthy, I want to tell you something today. You're not. And I'm not worthy to stand here and preach the gospel today in this pulpit. I'm not worthy, and I don't deserve to come here and do the things in God, the voice that spoke the world into existence, speaks into my heart and my spirit every day. That my God will never leave me and forsake me and walk with me, and what He's called me to do and chosen me to do, I can do it because His grace is sufficient for me. And I don't want to sit back and sit down and say, because of the family, He said, I can't go do anything, my family's poor. I know what that's like. I tell people, when I was young and dumb, I was completely broke and I had nothing. But after years of hard work and sacrifice, I'm no longer young. It takes a minute for that one to sink in sometimes. I want to tell somebody, I don't care what side of the tracks you grew up on. I don't care what family you come out of. I don't care if you had money or didn't have money. God's got an army and He's looking for warriors to be a part of the army of the living God. Today, because they don't feel like they're able.
Right.
Or the they didn't come to the right family or the right side of the tracks, but none of that matters today. Gabriel said, if the Lord is with me, then why am I going through all of these things? You and I must understand today God is going to build our faith in Him. And how in the world, someone said the other day, how do we know that God is a healer? Because we were sick. How do we know God's a deliverer? Because I was bound. How do I know that God's a way maker? Because I've been without and He made a way for me. How would I ever know the extent of the love and the blessing and the help of God if I never went through that trial? I was on my way on a Monday night to a prayer meeting. You know, good things happen when you go to prayer meetings. So on my way to a prayer meeting, and it was just, it was kind of a random thing, almost like one of my daughters just yell out something that doesn't seem to mean much. All of a sudden, I was getting ready to get off the exit there in Salem, off the interstate, and God said, who broke it? Broke what, God? What are you talking about? He said, who broke it? I said, broke what? He said, the five loaves and the two fish. Who broke it? I said, you did, Lord.
Right.
I said, you did. He said, until you allow me to break you, you're only going to be good enough for you. But if you put yourself in my hands and let me break you, you see, that little meal that Jesus had in His hands would only be enough for one little boy. But when it was broke in the hands of God, it fell in multitude, and there were 12 baskets left over, and Jesus said, gather all the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. I want to tell you, don't ever feel like you're lost in the house of God, and God doesn't know who you are, or your name, or where you are. He loves you and cares about you, and He wants everything. He's concerned about you, but He's called you and chosen you. I'm so amazed sometimes when I look at the elders that aren't able to get around and do a whole lot. And I'm thinking, you've got about 15 hours a day to pray for the church and the pastor and your community. I believe with all of my heart, if you don't feel like you belong somewhere because you haven't made yourself a part of that place, that's true. I believe that we will never be, when you just come into the house of God, and I have the luxury of not knowing what goes on anywhere, so I'm not speaking about anyone in general here. It's just, when we spend our lives just coming to the house of God on Sunday and Wednesday and going home and doing our thing, what benefit are we to the kingdom of heaven? My pastor said here a while back, God is not going to say well done if you haven't done well.
All right.
And he said it that quiet, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. God, help me to do well. Help me to do well. You see, he began to get in, began to say all the reasons why he couldn't do it. Why am I walking through what I'm going through? Well, the Lord is with you. Don't you ever forget. He won't leave you, forsake you. He went on and on, and Gideon was hiding underground, and God said, go in this thy might. Gideon said, I'm too poor. God said, surely I'll be with you. And Gideon, basically in verse 17, said, prove it. Prove it. He said, I need a sign. Some of you will never, ever be happy or fulfilled in your work, in your life with God, until you get busy doing the work of God. And the enemy of your soul is going to give you every reason why you can't. And I'm going to tell myself every day, Henry Ford had this statement that I love. Not only that he made the best vehicles alive on the face of the earth, I like Fords. Henry Ford had this statement that he would say to his employees, whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right. Whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right. And I want to tell you where the battle is won and lost is between our left and our right ear.
Amen.
Because I either believe that God is going to be with me and I can do what He's called me and chosen me to do, or I'll give myself every excuse in this world. And excuses are like homemade soap. You know what the main ingredient is? Lie. Just so you know. We'll tell ourselves a lie to keep ourselves from doing what God has called us to do. I want to go on just very quickly. Not only that, but I believe today when God began to prove His words to Gideon, that God in 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. When God filled me with His Spirit, He filled me with an overcoming power. When God put His Spirit inside of me, greater things than He did I can do. When God allowed me and called me and chosen me, He gave me everything I needed to succeed. Never lost. God has given me not the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. When I received the Holy Ghost, you look it up, it's called dunamis. It's the same word we get the word dynamite from. You and I have dynamite flowing through our veins today. We are more than conquerors today to Jesus Christ that loves us today. And you and I can walk up to the enemy of our soul. With me and gave me authority. Do you understand the authority you have today?
Amen.
I'm almost done, and you're all probably glad. I've got to understand. There were things that were haunting one of my children when he was young. And when I finally found out about it, and it was a spirit of fear, and I will cry up to that spirit of fear, and say, you didn't come from God. You came from another place. And God gave me authority over you, and you get away from my child, and you leave him alone. And if that same child told me, I may just walk away from God and never go back to church when I leave the house, I said, that's fine, just give me your address. He said, why? I said, because I'm going to lay on your front porch every night till midnight, calling on the name of Jesus until you come back to the help of God. And he said, you're crazy enough to do it. Now I got a God, and I know He's greater than anything you're ever going to face in your life. And I want you to be blessed, and I want you to have joy. And God didn't give fear what He couldn't do, what He called me to do. You see, He didn't give Him every reason why He couldn't, and God said, you can. I want to live by what He said. What He said, even, I want to ask you a question. Do you believe even our enemies know and understand our strength? Anyone want to give me a Bible verse for it? Just throw one out. I usually don't ever, in fact, I've never done this. Anyone? That was funny. I just had to try that. The question. Let me go back. Even our enemies know our strength. Do we believe that? How do you think our enemies view us? Anybody? What did the Pharaoh that was raised up that didn't know Joseph say? Wait a minute, guys. We got to do something with these children of Israel because they're more and mightier than we are. And if we don't get them up out of this land, if we don't do something, we've got to afflict them with strong work and labor. Now, how in the world was that Pharaoh able to get a people that were more and mightier than them to just keep them from just walking off? He used intimidation. He used fear. And he tried to make them believe you're not able to do it. It's just like, you ever wonder how in the world they tie a great big elephant up on a little bitty stake and a piece of rope? They're conditioned to think that way from the time they're very late. I think we need to start conditioning our minds to realize we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. I believe we need to begin to understand that we are warriors in this last days of the church. And I believe that the people need to look at us and understand that we are more and mightier than them. And they need to understand that the church is a good thing and a blessing in our community. The greatest establishment in Fairfield, Illinois is this church right here. The greatest thing in this city is this church.
Yeah.
We need to remember that. Our enemies understand this. And I know that I've got to fight a battle. Exodus 1, 8 through 10. He said, we've got to do something to get rid of these, to make these children of Israel think that they're not as strong as we know that they are. We've got to intimidate them. We've got to bring fear on them. We've got to make them think they're not able.
I remember the years of working at Airtex. I run the machine, the one I run the most was called a puller. And it would take a water pump casting, had about 8 or 10 different stations, and it would begin to cut this surface and cut that surface and drill this hole and do that. And by the time it got around to the very end of it, we had a finished product. Well, actually, the casting was finished, and they could take it and go on to another department, put some bearings in it and different things. And one day, we was going along and that machine messed up and a great big piece come down and just tore everything up. And I told them, said, no problem, call Uncle Jim, he'll fix it. So I don't think they called Uncle Jim, but they had to go to the tool shop and they got on this big ladder and they went up to the very top of this machine and they opened it up. And I looked in there and it looked like 10 million working parts up there. I believe until the church begins to work like a well-oiled machine and everyone in their place, we're living below what God wants for us. I really believe that today. I believe when everyone is doing what God has called them and chosen them to do. I have seen more miracles in the last few years of my life than I ever have before. And I watch people who seemingly to me didn't have enough faith to get up out of bed in the morning to do great things for God. It didn't matter something for God, and it's still sitting there. And you may feel like you're not able or you're not worthy to do it, but I've come to defy that today and tell you you are more than able through Christ to do what God has called and chosen you to do. And there's never a time. They asked Brother T.S. Kinney, why in the world don't you just retire? He said, because God told me to use my mouth and my breath, and as long as I have it, I'm going to use it. Because as long as my neighbor needs the Holy Ghost, as long as my children need prayer, as long as the church needs some help doing something, I feel like I've got to keep on going. Amen. I want to say to somebody today, you may not think much of yourself, but you're a warrior today. You're a warrior, church, and you're more than able to fulfill the call of God in your life. I want you to stand up.
there's so many other things, other scriptures, things I wanted to go through. I want to give you a little understanding about the God that you serve. I want to let you know just how powerful, just a simple little thing. Isaiah went through the first 5 chapters upset about everything. Chapter 6, and Isaiah got his eyes on the Lord, and he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. You know, when kings would go out to war and they would defeat the other kings, that they would cut the train off of that king's garment and sew it onto their train, showing that they were overcomers and they were more powerful. And the more kings and the more kingdoms that they defeated, the more trains they would put on their robe. And Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. My God is all powerful and almighty, and he will never lose, and he's for you. And he says, today you're a warrior. You are more than able to do what I've called you and chosen you to do. So I want to live my life by what he said, not how I feel today. I want to live my life with the knowledge that I can do all things through him. I want to speak these last words into your ears, church. You're greater than you think you are. You are more than you think you are. You have yet